Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 15th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in just a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including updates on a couple of ag-related hearings taking place on Capitol Hill today. And the latest on bird flu. The IMF seems to think even if it were to become a pandemic, the economic impact would be short-lived. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City just after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, if you've ever spent much time with your local school board, it's quite likely you will have heard them say something about the need to build bigger, more expensive houses to support students. Apartments, small homes, trailer courts, well, they just don't pay the school bills. This funding demand, as you'll hear reported today, creates urban sprawl that gobbles up farmland. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Be sure to join us this evening if you're in the Sycamore area for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at the DeKalb County Farm Bureau Auditorium this evening at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Bill Biederman of Allendale, Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. That's at the DeKalb County Farm Bureau Auditorium in Sycamore. The start time is 7 o'clock, and remember, the meeting is free and no advance reservations are required. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Kansas City on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the May contract in the wheat pit at 421 and a quarter. They were off 2.5 cents today. The May wheat in Chicago at 362 off a half. July futures at 373 and a half were down a half as well. From the corn pit in Chicago, $2.29 and a quarter. The final trade for the May contract in the corn down 2.5 cents. July futures were off 2.25 at 239 and a half. SEPs at 248 and a quarter down 2 cents. And December futures at 259 and a quarter were down a penny and 3 quarters today. Soy complex now nearby May futures in the bean pit, 584 and a quarter off 3.5 cents. July at 595 and 3 quarters down 3.25. And the August soybeans at $6.50 were down 3.25. November contract at 610 and 3 quarters down 2.5 cents. May bean meal at 175 even, down $1, or rather down $1.10 for the day. May bean oil off 12 cents at 23.55. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle finished at 103.87 and a half today. They were up $1.30. The April live cattle at $83 even were down a dime, and the April lean hogs at $58.15 a hundredweight were up 42 and a half cents for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchanges, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Hi, Todd. Nice to talk to you.
Well, let's start with what you made of the expiration yesterday and how it may impact the marketplace, if at all. Was there anything interesting as all of those March contracts went off the board?
Well, Todd, I was gone yesterday. I was at Hoopston, Illinois, speaking to the ADM grain elevator in Hoopston. It was a market meeting, and I didn't exactly watch blow by blow of the deal, but I do know this, that the barge freight costs have dropped considerably in here with the additional rainfall on the river system. And my general impression is that I do think that the marketplace is focusing on, maybe some cash grain movement in the Midwest, and it did amount to 2 to 7 cents a bushel. You know, that we do know that one of the German banks came in and bought a large volume of corn yesterday. Some of that follow-through came through today, and we did see FEMAT sell over 1,000 contracts of corn today, more or less sent the warning shot that the corn market was high enough for the near term. Our trend following system basically indicates that the corn market is in a downtrend, but it is in a gray area. The bean trend is down, and the wheat market at the present time is still in an uptrend.
Kind of interesting if you happen to look at the charts on the continuation chart. You now have a gap to the upside as the May took over for the March, and that could play an important role, I suppose, on the coming days before we get to the crop acreage intentions report, which comes at the end of the month. What are you hearing about acreage here in the Midwest and then the fringe areas and how it may or may not change?
You know, when we add up all the variables, Ed brought up yesterday at the meeting that, he was calling for a little wetter spring weather forecast, possibly. But when we add up all the variables, providing there's not a major weather planning delay, it looks like my interpretation is that it'll be maybe 1 million acres. But I don't get the feeling it's anything more than, 1.5 million would be an extreme acreage reduction in the corn fields. Irrigation, the dry weather in the West are all major market factors, but it's the freedom to farm, the general idea that even though some input costs are higher, corn is a very popular commodity in the Midwest.
Are you of the opinion that producers should have something between 20% and 30% of their cash sales or other sales made for the new crop?
Well, with the trend is down, a person should have some kind of hedging on, because the trend did change today. We did see, and it was extremely popular, to sell Dease corn at the 260 mark in the December futures. With the big changes that we are seeing in the fundamentals, and that's in China and also some of the ethanol dynamics, my impression is that a conservative posture is probably in order in corn. Whereas when we look at the fundamentals in soybeans, it's enormously bearish. It's still staying bearish, and the trend is down in the soybean complex. Our feeling is that the American farmer is holding a big inventory of soybeans as well as the South American farmer.
And how do you make out the harvest as it comes in South America and the kind of impact it may have as we come into the planting season here in the Midwest?
Well, the South American producer has been beat up in the currency markets, and he's also getting beat up with the high input costs. But he is, the feeling is it is a big crop of soybeans, and at some point in time, they do have to come to the marketplace, no matter how well designed that withholding pattern is. Last year, they dumped it just right, during our major transportation problem, when we had the hurricane problem, the South American farmer dumped a lot of soybeans in the marketplace, on stronger basis levels. But to make a long story short, he's a strong holder. It's hard, back 10 years ago, the South American farmer was a very aggressive seller of soybeans and corn into the marketplace. Today, they're a little more sophisticated, but I do anticipate a movement of commodities in the marketplace just because of the sheer size of that crop.
And your take on the mercantile exchange for the day?
The take on the mercantile exchange is that the impression is that the nearby cattle are undervalued and some of the deferred cattle are overvalued, so bull spreads should work there. In the hog market, the general impression is that the hog prices should be supported in here. Demand seems to be good.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Have a nice day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, if you live in the northern part of the state near DeKalb County and you're close to Sycamore, you might want to drop by the DeKalb County Farm Bureau building tonight at 7 o'clock when Dave Dickey and Pete Manhart, Mike Zuzolo, and Bill Biederman will all take the stage for another one of WILL AM580's Ag Outlook panels. That's tonight at 7 o'clock, absolutely free. You don't have to pre-register. Just drop by the DeKalb County Farm Bureau in Sycamore this evening. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. Our own Ed Kieser forecast for tonight, some cloudy skies in all sections of the two-state region. In the north, some snow will spread in from the west. In the central and southern sections, he says rain will spread in from the west. The lows this evening will range from 27 in northeastern Indiana to 42 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, Ed says, in the north, cloudy skies, some snow and rain. In central sections, cloudy with rain, mixing with snow in some locations late in the day. In the south, he says it'll be mostly cloudy, scattered showers. Highs will range from 34 in northwestern Illinois to near 60 in the far south. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana, AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a couple of hearings are underway this afternoon on Capitol Hill of interest to ag producers. A House Government Reform Subcommittee is hearing testimony on strengthening the nation's water infrastructure. The main focus is planning priorities by the Army Corps of Engineers, and the House Agriculture General Farm Commodities and Risk Management Subcommittee is holding a hearing on the Federal Crop Insurance Program. The International Monetary Fund is predicting that a severe avian influenza pandemic would only have a short-lived impact on the global economy. The IMF says on nations that are financially stable, such as the U.S., a severe bird flu pandemic would sharply reduce gross domestic product, but only in the short term. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says time is growing short for negotiators to reach a deal in the Doha round of world trade talks. Johanns says a deal must begin to come together in the next 6 weeks for U.S. lawmakers and administration officials to hammer out necessary language by the end of the year. While U.S. ag industry officials are not giving up on the talks, there's skepticism that a deal will come together. Farm Bureau trade specialist Dave Salmonson says key WTO members lack the political will to strike a deal. He says the stalemate is due to a triangle of conflict involving the European Union, developing countries, and the U.S.
Where the EU says they won't make or can't make any more changes on their ag proposal unless Brazil and India and the developing countries make a better offer on services. Brazil and those countries say, well, we can't do any more on services until we see the EU improve their ag offer. And you've got the U.S. saying, we want to see the, of course, the EU has to also improve their ag offer.
The WTO's 149 member nations are scheduled to meet at the end of April to conclude detailed agreements on how to open their markets by cutting tariffs and subsidies. Meanwhile, the EU notified the WTO yesterday that it would reintroduce trade sanctions against the U.S. in 2 months unless Washington curtails transitional provisions that allow U.S. companies to receive illegal subsidies for the next 2 years. Newly minted Foreign Agriculture Services Administrator Mike Yost says expect changes, including a reorganization.
And that's going to take quite a bit of time to do that. This process was in place before I got here, and I am just in the process of learning where they're at and where we need to go. We're still going to service all our partners. We're going to service all our customers. Just we have to adjust and reorganize because of the issues that we're facing.
In the late 1990s, Yost was heavily involved with the American Soybean Association as chairman, vice president, and president. Brazil's government is studying ways to better regulate the country's ethanol export market, including turning possible management of the biofuel over to the National Petroleum Agency. The country's cane-based ethanol is currently treated as an agricultural product under the auspices of the Agricultural Ministry and not as a fuel that is part of Brazil's energy matrix. The plan does not have the support of local traders who say turning ethanol over to the NPA could add a new level of bureaucracy that will at best delay ethanol exports and at worst stop sales cold if the agency deemed the country's domestic supply were suddenly falling short. And Japan has confirmed its 23rd case of mad cow disease. The health ministry made the announcement today that a 5-year-old Holstein bull tested positive for BSE. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you, if you're in the Sycamore area, to drop by the DeKalb County Farm Bureau building tonight at 7 o'clock for the absolutely free WILL Ag Outlook panel, including Pete Manhart, Mike Zuzolo, and Bill Biederman. That's tonight in DeKalb County at the Farm Bureau building there in Sycamore. Starts at 7. No need to pre-register. Just show up and enjoy the show. Well, up next, each year, Americans build a staggering 1.5 million new homes. A lot of environmentalists say too many of these houses are big, single-family homes on spacious lots. They say that wastes farmland and natural areas. But suburban planners say they're forced to build that way by local governments, such as school districts. The GLRC's Sean Ollie has more.
Jamie Bigelow makes a living building houses in suburbia. He takes a dim view of his profession. For Bigelow, most suburbs don't let neighbors be, well, good neighbors. After all, homes are too far apart for people to really meet one another, and everyone has to drive far for work or to just go shopping. According to Bigelow, families are looking for something better.
We believe that there's a growing market for people who want to be interconnected and live in interconnected neighborhoods, and housing, primarily in the suburbs, no longer supplies that.
So about 10 years ago, Bigelow and his father tried building one of these interconnected neighborhoods in a Chicago suburb. They wanted shops and parks nearby. They also wanted to close some streets to cars so kids could play safely near home. But one detail nearly derailed the project. Under the plan, houses would sit close together on small lots. The local zoning board hated this idea. According to Bigelow, they said small houses would break the local school district's budget.
They want large houses on large lots, because for the school district, that will give them a lot of taxes with not as many kids because there's not as many housings.
The planners wanted Bigelow to build bigger, pricier houses. Bigelow and his family fought that and eventually won. They did build that compact suburban neighborhood. But victories like that are rare. Often the area's local governments try to protect schools' tax revenue by promoting large homes and lawns.
They're actually behaving or reacting very rationally.
That's Mary Sue Barrett in the Metropolitan Planning Council, a Chicago-based planning and advocacy group. She says growth sometimes overwhelms schools, and it can catch taxpayers and parents off guard.
They don't have the revenue from their local property tax to pay for hiring teachers, so their class sizes become 32, 33. And that family who said, wait a minute, I came out here for great schools. Now I'm going to an overcrowded school. That's the last thing that I thought was going to happen.
From the school's perspective, larger lot sizes solve this problem. Big lots mean fewer kids per acre. Larger houses bring in more property taxes. And that means higher taxes cover costs for the few kids who do move in. Barrett says the trend's strongest in states like Illinois, where schools rely heavily on property taxes. She says in the short term, the strategy keeps schools flush. But it also pushes the suburban frontier outward into rural areas. That wastes land and hurts our quality of life. The day's over for this high school in northern Illinois. A throng of teens heads toward a line of 30 yellow school buses. Some of them spend up to 3 hours per day riding between school and home. Inside, Superintendent Charles McCormick explains what's behind the long rides. He says the district's large size is partly to blame, but there's another reason. The area's subdivisions are spread among cornfields, far from existing towns and from each other.
Well, the land use pattern itself disperses the students. So when you look at what bus routing means, the position of one student can add 10 or 15 minutes to a route.
McCormick says local governments in his school district encourage big homes and lots. But even his schools can barely keep up with the cost of educating new students. He says suburban planners just can't risk bringing in smaller homes and more kids.
Well, if you were to run a business the way growth affects school districts, you'd be broke, because you cannot keep up with rapid growth that produces, for every student, a deficit.
That's because even high property taxes don't fully pay for each student's education. Land use experts say reliance on property taxes for education puts suburbs in a tight spot. Some want smaller houses or even apartments, but school funding's a major stumbling block. Like other reformers, Mary Sue Barrett has been pushing for an alternative. She wants state government to kick in a bigger share of education dollars. The idea is to have enough funding for each kid, regardless of how large or expensive their home is.
And if we have a different way of paying for our schools that's less dependent on the property tax, we'll begin to move away from this problem that's really put a chokehold on so many communities.
It'll be an uphill fight because states are reluctant to change their tax structures. But Barrett says it's worth the political cost. She says if we want alternatives to suburban sprawl and its traffic congestion, we need new ways to pay for education. For the GLRC, I'm Sean Ali.
The Great Lakes Radio Consortium is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation and from the Healing Our Waters campaign, working to restore the health of the Great Lakes. The future of the lakes is in our hands. Online at restorethelakes.org.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Boy, I'd rather be a lot of other places. Outside would be good this afternoon. Blue skies, 45 degrees. Farmers feeling good today about the marketplace or not?
Well, not. Of course, it happened so abruptly. A lot of them probably don't even know that we had another turnaround again today. So they'll be a little disappointed because that rally we had yesterday, believe it or not, kind of lured a few of them out. And I bought some new crop corn and beans yesterday afternoon and again this morning, but it'll all dry up after this afternoon.
Yeah, they will be wishing, but they'll be happy out in the machine shed is my guess.
Yes, they will.
What are you hearing in your area about what producers are expecting to put in the ground in terms of acreage? Are they changing the mix much?
Well, the swing acres, I think probably, you know, I think there may be a tendency to go ahead and plant corn because new crop corn prices have come up considerably since they were trying to decide. But there's no doubt we had a lot of corn on corn last year because of the rust scare, and we're going to be heavy on bean acres, there's no doubt. But it may not be quite as bad as we thought.
Are they going to be dropping the bean acres coming in because of, in part, of corn on corn? Expectations that they'll follow that up with wheat?
Yes, absolutely. I think there'll be a lot of wheat planted. These analysts are really kind of getting through to these guys because they're booking a lot of new crop wheat, booking a lot of 07 wheat and 07 corn and beans. So, yeah, I think they'll go ahead and plant some wheat as long as the prices stay like they are.
Oh, that's interesting. Speaking of prices, what are yours for the day?
All right, our cash corn is $2.01, cash beans are $5.59, and new crop wheat today is $3.34.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. An emergency worker called in to rescue three children from a submerged car in Clinton Lake in 2003 says she saw Maurice Legrone Jr. smiling as others were trying to save the children. Cassandra McFall testified today in Legrone's first-degree murder trial. He's charged with the killing the three children of Amanda Hamm. Legrone's attorney says his client's reaction is someone who smiles at a funeral as a way of getting through a painful situation. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels plans to sign a bill authorizing his highway plan today. The Indiana Senate gave final approval to the plan last night. It gives Daniels the authority to lease the Indiana toll road for nearly $4 billion. Much of Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich's cabinet of agency directors has been approved by lawmakers, but not without some complaints from Republicans. The Illinois Senate today confirmed the governor's cabinet picks without opposition, appointing and reappointing directors for many state agencies. But Republicans say that should have happened 15 months ago when their first terms expired. Republicans also tried unsuccessfully to block the confirmation of David Phelps as Assistant Transportation Secretary. They were outraged at comments by Phelps that, quote, there will be a mass exodus of Republicans from the state payroll if Blagojevich is reelected. A plug that became dislodged is being blamed for a spill of 300 gallons of toxic wastewater at the Newport Chemical Depot in western Indiana. The wastewater is a byproduct of the destruction of deadly VX nerve agent. Work at the plant has been suspended while the incident is investigated. About 250 people near DuQuoin have been given the all-clear to return home, ending the evacuation that began after a small Canadian National train derailed just north of the southern Illinois town. U.S. Route 51 has also been opened in the area. Crews this afternoon finished clearing the wreckage of the four-car derailment that happened shortly before 2 this morning. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage on WILL Urbana. Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy, and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world. Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast for harvest season as it progresses in South America, please.
Well, it looks as though Argentina is the country that seems to have the biggest issue right now, with some frequent shower and thunderstorm activity occurring across the corn, sorghum, and sunseed producing areas, as well as some of the early soybean areas. Most of the issue there is not so much the delay that is underway for some of these early season crops that are being harvested, but more so for the sunseed crop, which is running a little bit of a risk for lower oilseed quality. The sunseed crop, as you know, tends to be very sensitive to moisture during the harvest season, and we can lose some quality in that crop fairly quickly with wet weather. We have seen a lot of precipitation in Argentina recently. The pattern is going to continue for a while longer. In Brazil, it's not so bad, though. Most of the weather there is pretty favorable in general. We've seen some good harvest progress in the west and south here in the past week or so. Some of the northern areas in Goiás and portions of Minas Gerais have seen some heavy amounts of rainfall, and so fieldwork has been stalled out in a few areas there. But in general, the harvest in Brazil is going favorably, and it looks like we'll see periodic showers and thunderstorms over the next 10 days, more or less continuing the same basic pattern we've been seeing. So fieldwork will take place, but there will be some localized pockets of delay in field progress.
And then if you could talk about the most important global agricultural areas and what you're seeing, for instance, here in the Midwest, the Southwest, and the United States, China for the coming planting seasons.
Well, it looks like in the U.S., of course, the big concern is the flip-flop in precipitation patterns that will take place. We're going to go into a period of wet weather, not that we haven't already been wet across lower parts of the Midwest, but we're going to do it again in a little while. And we've got this big storm system coming up across the plains here over the next 4 or 5 days that will produce some pretty impressive snow and rainfall amounts across portions of the hard red wheat country. Some of that storm will go into the Ohio River Basin as we go into next week. That will soak down that region additionally or keep it pretty darn wet. We'll take a little bit of break in the latter part of this month, and then in April we're going to be hit with some additional rain across a large portion of the Midwest, making that eastern part of the region too wet again, and we will see some planting delays in those areas. For places like China, I think the situation is going to be pretty favorable this year. A lot of good combination of timely rainfall and seasonable temperatures will take place. There shouldn't be any big dryness issue in China. Maybe we'll see a little bit of a delay in seasonal rain starting off in the northeast corner of the country, but that's the only place where there'll be an issue. I think China will do well.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks a lot, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Wednesday afternoons. Don't forget to join us tomorrow afternoon, or rather tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets, and that you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain reports, and the weather right there on our website at WILLAG.org. And if you're in the northern part of the state of Illinois and you'd like to drop by the DeKalb County Farm Bureau in Sycamore, Illinois tonight, you can visit with Dave Dickey, Pete Manhart, Mike Zuzlow, Bill Biederman for our next WILL Ag Outlook panel. That's this evening at 7. It's absolutely free. Please feel free to join them. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.